A very wonderful relationship was struck up with a person at the ASC2K Ascension 2000 forum hosted by David Wilcock. There are a number of other documents that have also been recited between the correspondence between Z. Charnot and who I refer to as T.W. And here are a few more. This is from Z to T.W., February 16th, 2006, regarding hope and disappointment. Dear fellow traveler, while you speak about a turn in your life in 2002, it occurred in my life in 1966. The document posted by Jennifer last night should help. It is titled The Key. Fortunately, we are both keyboard literate, you and I, and Jennifer. At one time, I had 5 secretaries just to keep up with me. That is when I founded Syndyne, a company that still exists. You can look it up on the internet. I resigned as president in 1966. I sold my 58% ownership in 1968. Since then, the ownership has changed about 4 times. I worked for the American Humanitarian Foundation, designing the psychophysics lab at the campus of UCLA for them as my next professional undertaking. Next, I became the head of the Central Research Laboratories for a company that traded on the New York Stock Exchange, Rucker, located in Oakland, California. By 1967, July, I was living in San Rafael while working for Rucker. My lab was in Berkeley. I started lecturing in my home. In only a matter of weeks, there were 75 people crowded into my modest home. Well, not too modest. I had a swimming pool and 5 bedrooms. Those lectures were recorded. They were recorded by a new ally, Pam Rasmussen. I still have the old reel-to-reel recordings. They have all been remastered on CDs by Joseph Mueller, who now lives here in Elliott Lake. I founded Frontiers of Science Fellowship. I rented a lab on Redwood Highway. I started the lecture series, Codification of Consciousness. About 35 people attended. Some of them took up residence in the lab. It was the era of hippiedom. I was very much a part of that era. I used hypnosis to eliminate the pain for a man that had his leg amputated from cancer that had spread to his pelvis. He was very wealthy. It took 4 sessions. He lived in Corta Madera. He offered his home for meetings. We could hold up to 225 people in his home. It filled in 2 weeks, meeting each Friday night. I moved to the Marin County Civic Center. It could hold about 350. We filled it in 3 more weeks. We moved to the College of Marin. It could hold about 650. We filled it in 2 more weeks and kept it packed for months, then years, every Friday night. I started holding meetings in Berkeley, San Francisco, Daly City, Long Beach, San Diego, Portland, Oregon, Klamath Falls, Spokane, Salt Lake City, Denver, Boulder, Fort Collins. It kept growing. It culminated in a meeting of all of the people who wanted to come at the Fillmore Auditorium in San Francisco in February 1969. More than 3,000 people came. In the meantime, I had obtained a 1,085-acre facility near Middleton, California, called Harbin Hot Springs, an old resort. I was able to house and feed about 120 people there. We have pictures of the group. I gave classes there. We called the place Harbinger. We have hundreds of pictures of that group. There is a cluster of people from that group who live in New Mexico. We had the National Council of Churches visit our group. They financially supported us. They gave me an office in New York City. I taught meditation to the delegates. We had a gathering of about 500 at Harbinger the night following the meeting at the Fillmore. Someone put drugs in the food. My newborn infant died that night. His name was Arnon Paul. I never returned to Harbinger. There is so much more to the story. I started gathering people again in Sheffield, Massachusetts. It broke up because someone from the original group showed up with the same orientation. I moved to Canada. Then I went to Europe. I remained in Europe from 1969 until 1979. I have the same story to tell that you have told. I have met many supposedly spiritual people who don't walk the walk. They just talk the talk. Fortunately, I have a wonderful marriage with a wonderful spiritual companion. We meet each day and have sessions. I have a son who has a great nature. He holds some hope and promise for me. He is in university right now. I have a daughter who is an ordained Tibetan Buddhist nun. She may sustain some valuable spiritual practices. We have a few people here in Elliott Lake who meet with us. I have done the commune thing. Self-interest, if not self-service, destroys. It is very difficult to pry people loose from those patterns. Even after Joseph Mueller spent months of his own time at his own expense transferring the reel-to-reel lectures to CDs, after taking some of them to Hawaii to one of the former members of Harbinger, after moving to Elliott Lake and staying in our home while he organized his new home in Elliott Lake, he didn't really listen to the lectures. He didn't apply them to his life. We seldom even see him now. He just used his technical ability to make recordings. He even bought us a printer. Similarly, Dr. Joseph Gross has known me since the late 60s. He's an MD, a psychiatrist. He has served as a director of several companies I have founded. He has traveled with me around the world. He bought us a new Dell computer, an 8200 with a 21-inch monitor. He helped us buy a car. No strings attached. He is generous, kind. He was what I would have considered my best friend for many years. He has paid for copies of the CDs Joseph Mueller made. He has sent copies to Anna Swadling, now living in Santa Fe. She has bought a copy of each of my books, but we found a publisher. She enthusiastically read the books. She made prototypes of the texts. She made contacts in Toronto and at a local university. Then she had a nervous breakdown. There are so few. We attempted to help Carla Ruckert with her health. She exchanged with us. She attempted to meet with her and Jim. We attempted to meet with her and Jim when we were in Kentucky. Perhaps you may be an omen of something sustainable, something extendable, something deep and sincere, with a grounding in some basic spiritual integrity. I could recite the same kind of story that you have told regarding my meetings with Wayne Guthrie of the Fellowship of Universal Guidance. I was helped by Dr. Enid Smith of Tonopah, Arizona, before she died. I was really helped by Waddick Heinrich, an international lawyer educated in Switzerland. I was really helped by Crystal Norland. My academic supervisor, Professor Kiyoshi Izumi, had integrity. He was a real friend. He helped with Domain Ecodynamic Research Foundation. Dr. Eugene Kovalenko, Ph.D., was a real friend and a companion during the early years of my transformation. I could make a longer list of disappointments. Of course, the real pillar of my life is my current wife and eternal companion. Let us press on to that high calling which is the Christ Presence. The density of reality is expiring as an opportunity. We can't really extrapolate a future dependent upon its endurance. More light is emanating. We need to take the seed of our fruitful challenges in this world and plant it with expectations more as treasures in heaven. Ever your brother, Z.